Welcome to Freedom's Way.
Hey, Freedom's Way.
Welcome to Freedom's Way.
This is going to be interesting. I'm in Steve's house.
Okay, great. Praise the Lord.
But the thing is, I got invited and said yes to watch the Stanley Cup Finals with him, but I'm not going to miss this thing on shame. So this is going to be either a double-minded or a multitasking thing, because I'm going to be listening while I watch the Stanley Cups.
You think so? I don't think so. So let me just say to everybody, thank you for dialing in tonight. And if you have opened this message as a from a digital source in an archive, then we want you to please understand it's a live teleconference. And we'll be having people call from all over the country. To that end, we'll give them 3 to 5 minutes to get here. And if you'd like to say hello, now's the time to do it. And for those of you who need to watch the Stanley Cup or any other thing on TV, I bet you a nickel your TV will record it. In the name of Jesus Christ, hallelujah.
So, I'm going to listen to this shame series while I watch, because I ain't missing it. I'll have my earbuds in and I'll be smiling.
We're on the shame series?
Yes, we are revisiting and renewing and refreshing, because it's insidious and it creeps in when you least expect it.
Okay. All right. God. Do you know anything about narcissists? Y'all have anything on narcissists?
This is a part of it.
Okay, I just want to be at a special teaching on narcissists.
Not specifically, but that is one of those labels that's being thrown around a lot these days, and it's kind of like, you know, it really isn't that common. I think everyone has some narcissistic trait.
Oh yeah, I think
trait.
So too. Oh yeah,
and
I believe
so,
that.
You know, the true narcissist is really not that common.
Yeah, well, I know a real one.
I'm sure we all think we do. Hallelujah.
Yeah, there we go.
Hi, Vicky.
Yes, hello.
Yes.
Hi, Vicky. Just wanted to say hi.
Thank you, Claudia. Who else wants
Claudia,
to say hello?
Okay. Hi, this is
Helen. Vicky. I made it, too. Oh, and Miss Helen, too. I'm sorry.
Hi, Helen. Hi, Mitch.
Yep.
Hi, everyone. Hi, everyone. I'm going to mute back out.
Okie dokie.
Righty. What is Stanley Cup? No sports fan at all right here. No sports fan.
Yeah,
I don't like
I'm
sports.
I'm telling you.
Yeah. Ice hockey. Tournament of the ice hockey.
Praise the Lord.
I don't you have that in Florida, if I remember correctly.
No, we don't have that in Florida. That is not one of our followers. We do?
Yeah, they make ice.
Oh, they make ice? Well, I make ice every day in the freezer. So.
Yeah, I'm just a zero sports fan of any kind. I don't participate in none of that. Football, baseball, whatever.
I understand.
I'd rather be working in a flower bed.
Anybody else want to say hello?
I want to say hello. I got on.
Well, yay, thank you. Thank you, Marcia.
Now you can mute me so you don't hear all my noise.
All right, dear. Okay. I am going to mute the phones now so that if you are making noise and the background is not going to disturb anyone. Hallelujah. We are in fine form. We got a lively group tonight, so I hope you all keep each other awake. I don't think you'll have a problem with this particular topic, and as far as staying awake. But anyway, here you go. Pastor Phil is going to open us. Help us,
thank you, Lord. Thank you for this word tonight. Thank you, Lord, that it makes a difference and that it pricks the hearts of your people, that they have a better understanding of what this is all about. It is a powerful message. And I thank you, Lord, that you bring this message and that your anointing is on it. So we thank you, Lord, and we say, Holy Spirit, have your way. And in the name of Jesus, we turn aside any assignment from hell against this message that would distort it or divert it or blunt its power in the kingdom. And we just loose the Spirit of God and the Holy Spirit to have your way with it, to bring it to the hearts and minds of your people in a powerful way. And we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Did you pass it for
us? No. I think people know already. But we are Freedom's Way Ministries. I am Phil Burdett here with my wife, Vicki. Our mission is to help you come into your true, full identity in Christ and enjoy all the benefits therein, including walking in power and authority in the kingdom of God. Anything we can do to help you come into that, that is our mission, and we're glad to do it. Feel free to call us, and God bless you as you hear this message tonight. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
We're messing up tonight.
Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, we are once more looking at this word over several weeks, overcoming shame and discovering your true identity. You all are in on session one. This is foundational to you. And I will tell you, when we first began to bring this message publicly in seminars, there was a man who followed that circuit, and he went to them 3 times in a row, and then again the next year. He said, you cannot hear this enough times. So if you think that you know it, please keep your ears open and let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart. Because once again, we're going to reveal the way hell has used shame to hinder and limit God's people in practically every area of our lives on some level. This is a seminar. It became a series, and a lot of you have been down this road with us before. And if you have, that is wonderful. You're going to have the opportunity to review your life tonight to determine if a door might have been opened to this insidious thief of your identity. And for those who may be hearing this material for the first time, we encourage you to listen with both your inner ear and your outer ear so that you don't miss anything. The Lord is leading us in presenting these life-changing truths in preparation for our calling to freedom and our empowerment to minister truth to others. So we want to expose shame for the lie that it is, fully bringing it into the light of the truth of God, so that every vestige of shame can be forever removed from our hearts and from our lives. Our identity, our true identity, not who we think we are, but who God created us to be, has been affected by shame to a greater or lesser degree for all our lives. And shame continues its efforts to sneak back into our thoughts and into our emotions. And it's time to let go of shame and to embrace the glory of God.
The foundational scripture for this series is found in Psalms. It's Psalm 4, verse 2. Oh, you sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing? Selah. Pause and think about that. And if you pause and think about that, you will see that we have agreed with the enemy of our souls. We, who are created and meant to be God's glory in the earth, we've agreed with hell. We've allowed the glory of God to be smothered by shame. And according to this verse in Psalms, that's because we love and follow worthless opinions, vanity, and we seek out the lies of the world, leasing. So there is an appeal in this verse in Psalms for us to give up our agreement with hell, to turn our love back toward God, and to reject the lie of the devil. There's no other way that we can be the shining expression of God's glory.
Amen. These next few weeks are going to be an amazing time with the Lord. And what we're about to learn and review will bring about a deep healing that everyone needs to experience in order to become the complete overcomers we were created to be. We'll be looking at what shame is and what it isn't, the burden and destructiveness of shame, how to recognize if shame is controlling us in some way, where it comes from and how it enters us, what keeps shame in place in our lives, and God's answer of healing from shame. A mission that extensive can't be accomplished in one session, so we're going to be guided by the Holy Spirit week by week until we're satisfied that God is satisfied, that we all understand and can separate ourselves from shame. So let's first define shame and get a more clear understanding from the beginning. Shame is not guilt. Although many people, both in church and outside, it combine the two or use these words interchangeably. Shame is not guilt. Guilt is the feeling we have when we know we've done something wrong. We feel guilty. Feeling guilty should bring Holy Spirit conviction into our hearts and turn us to God in repentance. Unfortunately, this turning to God doesn't always happen, and shame is often the reason as to why it doesn't. Shame doesn't want us or our sin to be exposed. While guilt is what we feel when we've done something wrong, shame is the feeling of being something wrong. It's an inner feeling that there's something wrong with me. Not I did something wrong, but rather I am something wrong.
I hope you got that distinction. You know, you've heard us say this before, hell isn't fair. At some time in our childhood, maybe even in the womb, before we were born, we were shamed. Reproach and disgrace were brought into our spirits through some lie from hell against which we had no defense of truth. And then, by the time we were exposed to truth, the lie had become so entrenched that many of us had become one with it. We believed it thoroughly. No one told us shame is not a part of us, that it isn't a normal emotion or a way of life. We weren't taught how to recognize or separate ourselves from shame. Really just the opposite. On the contrary, the church told us Jesus was shamed and we would suffer shame too because it makes us good Christians. Help us, Lord. See, Satan joined the church in the first century and he brought the religious, self-righteous, judgmental spirit of the Pharisees to sit right alongside us in the pews and to speak from the pulpits and to keep us in bondage to shame. There are many, many church hurt people in the world. So right now, I just I just stand in the gap for every religious person who shamed you in any way. I repent for them. I repent to you on their behalf. And I ask that you forgive them and release them now into the hand of God so that the shame they brought into your life can be rooted out and burned in the consuming fire of the living God. Hallelujah.
The church is just one of the many places where shame is alive and well. Our families are another, and perhaps in our workplaces or social circles. It seems impossible to get away from shame, and that's because shame is in us, and wherever we go, it comes along. As we bring these messages, we'll be looking at a lot of different sources of shame and digging them up. We'll visit shame in the church, shame in the family, shame in the culture and in the generations, and all kinds of stuff. So don't miss these meetings because we're going to be as in-depth as possible. We've already said that guilt is a feeling of, I made a mistake, I messed up, while shame is a feeling of, I am a mistake and I'm a mess up. This creates in us a self-focus that magnifies everything about us through a warped looking glass and twists our thinking. If any behavior or appearance on our part seems inappropriate, wrong, or embarrassing, then thought patterns flow immediately into a river of shame. There's something wrong with me, and everybody knows it. I deserve this, whatever bad thing might be happening, because I'm so bad. I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy. Shame makes us unable to receive compliments, love, or acceptance. Here's a good definition of shame: a disturbed or painful feeling of blameworthiness, incompetence, or indecency. A disturbed or painful feeling of blameworthiness, incompetence, or indecency.
Wow.
Once shame is established in us, then it can become strengthened by guilt. When we actually mess up and do something wrong, we feel guilty about it. And shame takes occasion of guilt to reinforce its control of the lie from hell. The enemy will also bring up your past sins, and make you feel guilty. Shame then takes occasion of that guilt to reinforce the lie. The lie is three categories of this lie. It could be the lie that we're worthy of punishment. This is a lie that keeps us from repenting. We don't want people to know. We don't want God to know, as if he didn't already. It could be the lie that we're incompetent and inadequate. And this lie keeps us from receiving compliments, acceptance, or love. Or it could be the lie that we're indecent and disgraceful. So this lie keeps us from receiving the love of God and people, and can turn us into bitter balls of self-hatred and rejection. Spiritually speaking, shame is a lie we believe about ourselves or God that causes us to reject God's love and forgiveness based on feelings of personal unworthiness. I tell you, this sets up all kinds of unloving spirits to keep you from being effective in the kingdom. I'm going to say this again. Spiritually speaking, shame is a lie that we believe about ourselves or God, and it causes us to reject God's love and forgiveness based on feelings of personal worthlessness, unworthiness. people say, I can't forgive myself, or it's hard for me to forgive myself, you will find are shame-based individuals. Now, somebody out there probably just went further into shame, feeling ashamed that that's you. So just give it up. Just give it up, people. Rejoice that one of your deepest root issues is about to be uprooted. Hallelujah. As we gain a general understanding about this destroyer, we will then be able to go deeper and really dig it out. Many of you are going to get some healing, even tonight as we go through this. And as the weeks progress, more and more shame will be exposed and removed. God reveals so he can heal. Shame prevents us from being vulnerable because it tells us we can't appear weak. Without vulnerability, we cannot be healed. So shame prevents our healing, especially emotional healing. We believe on some level we're not worth anything. No one wants us. No one loves us. We have no purpose. We should never have been born, and so on and so on. And that shame that we feel, feelings aren't facts, but we feel it, that shame binds itself to other evil spirits, which a lot of mental health people call emotional defense mechanisms, or some other such psychological semantics. You know, we all need to realize and admit that demons are demons. Hallelujah. If it makes you feel better to call them hindrances or limitations or mental problems or chemical imbalances or influences from hell, then that's okay. But know that as long as you believe it's just you, that it's just a part of who you are, or that it's a mental or physical issue that you have to live with, you won't be able to separate yourself from it.
Shame and its buddies work in our emotions, which is one reason why people think it's just me. God gave us emotions so that we can relate to him and to each other in godly ways. Emotions are not bad, but unfortunately most emotions are not emotions at all. They are evil spirits acting out their nasty natures and deceiving us into more shame. When we deny or repress our true emotions, then shame has a heyday. Here's what I mean. Let's say that as a child you had a special doll or a toy fire truck or something that really meant a lot to you. In the overall scheme of things, it wasn't worth much, but to you it was a treasure. A neighbor kid or your big sister or brother took your treasure and destroyed it. How did that make you feel? My wife wants me to share with you that when I was, I think, 3 years old, I can remember this because I had this little doll. And my brother grabbed hold of it and broke it. You know, it had a little leash on it, and he pulled it and snapped the leash off of it. And I remember, I mean, I can vaguely remember this because I was just a tiny little tot. But I remember crying and going to my daddy and telling daddy. So my father had to go look high and low. We lived actually outside D.C. at the time. And he had to look high and low to find another one, but he did. So
it was your blimpy.
It was my blimpy.
These are the memories. They're traumatic, but they stay with you throughout childhood. So how did it make you feel?
Well, it didn't make me feel. As a matter of fact, it tore me up.
That's
right. So I was hurt, angry, disappointed, brokenhearted. These are real emotions. You cried and went running to mom, but instead of understanding the pain you were feeling, she shamed you. For goodness sake, it's only a toy. Don't be such a crybaby. That didn't happen in my case.
I said you were spoiled.
Amen. You were made to feel that there was something wrong with you because you hurt inside. What happens in the spirit is that shame comes in and begins to repress godly emotions that you, so you become unable to grieve when you're in pain over a loss, and you lose touch with yourself and others. Disassociative behaviors begin to pattern themselves in your thinking. The truth is that we should all be able to grieve and not feel ashamed. Shame masks true emotions and causes us to try to become what we think other people want or need us to be. Wow, that's very powerful. We try to become what other people want or need us to be, or what we think other people want or need us to be. We give up our true identity to be molded by the opinions of others rather than God. Big boys don't cry. If you don't stop crying, I'll give you something to cry about. Well, that sounds like my dad.
That sounds like a lot of people's moms and dads. You know, shame can also come in and repress good emotions, like joy in a personal or corporate victory. I know that at some time in your life, something wonderful probably happened to you, and you went to share it, and somebody made you feel bad because you had it and they didn't. You know, one of the biblical examples of shame stealing joy is when the nation of Israel wrought a great victory against her enemies, but King David was in such ungodly grief over Absalom that the people felt they could not express their victory. You know, usually the armies came back and danced in the streets and there was a big party, but in 2 Samuel 19, verses 2 and 3, it says this, "And the victory that day was turned into mourning unto all the people. For the people heard say that day how the king was grieved for his son. And the people gat them by stealth that day into the city, as people being ashamed steal away when they flee in battle."
When emotions are repressed, fear also comes because we become afraid we won't be able to hold it in and our true feelings will break out. We fear being out of control, losing control, being exposed or vulnerable, and any of that would cause us more shame. This takes us into self-rejection and self-hatred, low or no self-esteem, chronic unhappiness, and depression. Don't you think shame needs to be recognized and dealt with? Shame causes us to be totally self-focused as we go about our lives, trying to hide our shame so that no one discovers how bad we really are. Some people hide shame behind a prideful or arrogant exterior, and this only brings on more shame. Proverbs 11 and 2 says, "When pride comes, then comes shame, but with the lowly is wisdom." Hallelujah. Some people hide shame behind independence and self-reliance, making it impossible to ask for anyone for help when we need it. Sometimes we can be moving in self-reliance even while we're giving lip service to God. This is really just another face of pride, and it piles on more shame. And I say, what a shame. Ezra 8:22, "For I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because we had spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him, but his power and wrath is against all of them that forsake him."
Well, can't ask for help because you've already said, oh no, God's going to help me. You know, sometimes God wants to help you through people.
Yeah.
You know, some people wall off their hearts and hide behind, quote, boundaries that we create to keep others at a distance
So we can't be touched by them, and we won't feel their pain either. We're afraid we'll be found out, and that keeps us always focused on ourselves, on our problems, our thoughts, our lives, our everything. Let me tell you, it is impossible to see God's plan for your life when you have a self-focused mindset. And in addition to a self-focused mindset, there are some emotional indicators that shame has captured our thought lives, isn't controlling us in some way. As long as shame is in place, our healing and deliverance is only going to be superficial. It'll be incomplete. It'll be temporary, because shame is at the root of many of our, quote, issues. Shame can cause automatic, ungodly responses to people and situations. Now, while we have been talking, you may have already admitted within yourself that shame has been at work in you. But for anybody out there who is not yet sure, let's see if any of these manifestations apply to you.
Anger is an indicator of shame. We're not talking about normal anger, but anger that expresses itself in a violent, violent emotional outbursts and overreactions, even a sort of uncontrollable rage. Oddly, there seldom seems to be a known or apparent reason for the anger. We explode on people with little or no provocation. Anger is more often than not an automatic response when things don't go our way. This is common with shame-bound people because the fear of shame causes them to repress normal anger, and it is always pent up and just under the surface. Yeah, I'm very familiar with that in my days about anger without telling on myself too much. But
it's okay. I love transparency.
Well, when I remember when I was working as a salesman and back in the 80s, and I had one of my marketing directors say, "Phil, if you don't get hold of your anger, it's going to take you out." That was many, many years ago. So I understand that, because this spoke exactly right to me about repressing normal anger. So make a point. Sarcasm. And we'll move on. Sarcasm is also an indicator of shame. Sarcasm is a destroyer that wounds the spirit. And when sarcasm is prevalent in conversation, shame is almost always the motivator behind it. This thing is speaking about me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
People who continually keep striking back.
People who continually keep striking back at their families and those they tried are tied, and those they love are tied to shame. Okay. I lost my mind. Another prevalent indicator of shame is self-hatred. The forms of self-hatred are many and varied, but a common one is self-rejection. And the most common expression of self-rejection is hating some part of your body. My nose is too big. My eyes are the wrong color. My hair is too curly or too straight. My ears stick out. Whatever. Self-hatred and rejecting your body can take you into bulimia or anorexia or death wishes or risky behaviors and all sorts of ungodly stuff. The sad part is changing a body part will not cause a person to accept himself. Here's a test that will indicate shame in this area. If you had the power to change anything about your appearance, would you? This question is about real radical changes from a belief that changes will make you happy with you. We're not talking about wearing makeup or coloring your hair or any of that kind of thing.
Yeah, you know, real changes. Yeah, changing your nose or your ears or your body parts or whatever. The next indicator of being shame-bound is a victim mentality. This is poor me thinking. Nobody has it as bad as I do. Nobody understands me. Nobody loves me. Nobody helps me. No one wants to be my friend. I'm always the last one picked for the team, and so on and so on. There are people in our lives, and we all know them, who live in this kind of thinking. And I hope you're not one of them. If you have been busy inviting people to your pity parties, you need to stop. You need to stop. They don't want to come anyway. Nobody wants to come. You know, my mother used to say, misery loves company. And she was right. Miserable people want to bring others down with them into victim thinking. Victim mentality never sees a way out. Doom and gloom prevail. And even when the victim is offered a helping hand, they will have a reason why the solution won't work. Is this you? When things go wrong, do you wallow in failure or mistake? Do you revisit all the failures that you've had in your life and say, oh, I can't do anything right, blah, blah, blah. A person with victim mentality usually has an evil eye also that sees the negative in everything. And they say things like, I already tried that. Well, that won't work because... So victims want you in the pit with them, and victims are bound in shame. Even biblical answers are rejected. So God can't help either.
Amen. Warped thinking is another indicator of shame. For example, when rejection comes, and all of us have the opportunity to be rejected every day. Twisted thinking exaggerates the rejection to epic proportions. It causes us to believe no one likes us and can even set up paranoia. Shame-bound people seldom see circumstances clearly, and their warped, twisted thinking is transferred toward God in accusation. What did I do to deserve this, God? This person has a warped perception about how life is and their place in it, and a warped view of God and of themselves. They're blaming God. Shame-bound people also experience a lack of vision. Most people with shame live their lives without much direction. They blame events and people in their past for having no forward progress in their lives. Shame makes...
Yeah, let me give you one. I'm this way because I'm the adult child of an alcoholic parent.
Wow. I know this is convicting stuff because I'm convicted all over the table here tonight. So please bear with us and hang in here because this helps. Shame makes us forget the word that tells us we have a future and that God has a plan and a purpose for us. It also causes us to be unwilling to remove the distorted glasses that cloud our vision. People with lack of vision usually go through life's motions as they sit around and wait to die.
Sad but true. Hopelessness is another indicator of shame. This usually stems from the belief that we are no longer, or perhaps we have never been, useful to God. Shame convinces us we've sinned too much or too badly to be used, forgiven, or loved by God. Shame-bound people also believe they are marked for punishment. God's correction is viewed as punishment, rather than guidance towards success. And God is thought of as a punishing God. At the same time, there's a lot of confusion because the shame-bound person both expects and believes they deserve punishment. And this denies the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God altogether. So any of these indicators, anger, sarcasm, self-hatred, victim mentality, twisted thinking, lack of vision, hopelessness, or believing you are marked for punishment, any of these indicators will tell us shame has captured our thinking. Until we realize truth and begin to think differently, we will never act differently. And when we merge the lies of hell with our own life experiences, it can create in us an unwillingness to believe what God says about us. Do not merge the lie of hell and your life experience. Don't forget this. It is truth that makes us free. And the truth is, Jesus Christ was shamed so that you and I could be free of shame and walk in his glory. The word says he despised the shame. He was shamed so that you and I can be free of shame and walk in his glory. He made the way for that divine exchange to be made in our lives. And now we are the ones that have to begin to make it.
It is the truth that makes us free. Truth is not simply a thing to believe, it's a person to know. Hallelujah. Here is the first essential truth to overcoming shame. God formed each and every one of us, and he made us in his likeness. God is not ugly, trashy, stupid, no good, or a liar. We are made in God's image, and that makes us lovely, lovable, beautiful, passionate, wise, gifted, and desirable. We are made in God's image, and that makes us lovely, lovable, beautiful, passionate, wise, gifted, and desirable. That is an essential truth. It is the truth that makes us free. So we're going to lead you in a prayer to get started on the road to recovery from shame, but let's open a line to heaven first. Father God, I know that many of the things that happened to your people when they were children were not in your plan for them. Lord, we've been shamed by our parents, our friends, leaders in the church, our teachers, and others. I ask that you close the doors of distraction from the world and hell that would have any person drawn away from participating in this supplication to you, and that you open our ears to hear and our hearts to understand and receive your truth, to truly get to know the truth, our Lord Jesus Christ, because when we know who he is, then we know who we are. I ask for an increase of your Holy Spirit presence in every heart, in every home, so that the different situations you want to deal with are brought to mind. We recognize that you, Lord, are the deliverer, and we can do nothing without you. Give each one of us the courage to forgive those who shamed us and to forgive ourselves. Bring us on the road to recovery, Lord, as we come before you in the vulnerability, trusting you to bring us into your truth, and as we enter the process that will forever free us from shame. Hallelujah, amen.
Hallelujah, amen. I invite all of you to pray this prayer with me. Pray it out loud so that the host of heaven and the host of hell will know where you stand and that you are, pardon me, entering this, you are embarking on this ambitious journey with us to overcome whatever shame has sneaked in. So pray with me. Father God, I come before you in the name of Jesus.
Father God, I come before you in the name of Jesus.
And I thank you for giving me insight into shame.
Thank you for giving me insight into shame.
So that I can identify it.
So that I can identify it.
And begin to remove myself from it.
Begin to remove myself from it.
Lord, your word says.
Lord, your word says.
That I am to come out from the unclean thing.
I am to come out.
And I can see that shame is an unclean thing.
Shame is an unclean thing.
And it has bound me in many areas of my life.
It has bound me in many areas of my life.
I want to be free of shame, Father.
I want to be free of shame, Father.
I cannot do that without you.
I cannot do that without you.
Lord, I choose as an act of my will,
Lord, I choose act of my will
to forgive my mother and my father.
Forgive my mother and my father
for all the times that they shamed me.
For all the times that they shamed me.
That they made me feel worthless or unloved.
Feel worthless when they made me feel worthless.
I forgive my ancestors for opening the door to shame. And for establishing a pattern of shame in our family.
Establishing a pattern of shame in our family.
I forgive and release my ancestors.
Forgive and release all my
parents, brothers, sisters.
Parents, brothers, sisters.
Pastors and leaders in the church.
Now.
Teachers and classmates. Bosses and co-workers, and everyone else who brought shame into my life. Lord, I release them into your hand.
Lord, I release them into your hand.
I forgive them for the words,
I forgive them for the words,
the actions and the attitudes,
that shamed me,
that opened the door for anger. Sarcasm and self-hatred to work in my life. Forgive me, Lord, for allowing the opinions and the words of others to hide your truth, that I am perfectly created in your image. And I forgive myself for having done that.
I forgive myself for having done that.
I ask you to forgive me, Lord.
Forgive me, Lord.
For any time I brought shame into another person's life.
For any time that I brought shame into another person.
Knowingly or unknowingly.
Knowingly or unknowingly.
And I forgive myself for having done that.
I forgive myself for having done that.
Forgive me, Lord God, for participating with anger,
sarcasm, and self-hatred,
and for allowing my thoughts to carry me into victim mentality, warped thinking, and hopelessness. I realize that these conditions are not a part of who I am. And I now renounce anger,
sarcasm,
self-hatred,
victim mentality,
warped thinking, and hopelessness. Forgive me, Father, for allowing shame to rob me.
Forgive me, Father, for allowing shame to rob me.
Of vision and truth.
Vision and truth.
And I ask that vision and truth be restored in me.
As the vision and truth is restored in me.
Forgive me, Lord, for receiving the lie of hell.
Forgive me, Lord, for receiving the lie of hell.
That there is something wrong with me.
There is something wrong with me.
For believing that lie.
Believing that lie.
And for living it.
Living.
I receive your forgiveness, Father.
Receive your forgiveness, Father.
And I forgive myself.
Forgive me.
I break agreement with that lie.
I break agreement with that lie.
And every lying devil behind it.
Every lying devil behind it.
Lord, I ask that by your Holy Spirit.
I ask by your Holy Spirit.
You begin to show me situations of my past.
Begin to show me situations of my past.
Where shame came in.
Shame came in.
So that I can forgive those who were used to bring it. And I pledge to bring each and every situation before you. And to receive your truth, Father. So that the lies can be dispelled. And I thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you.
For your truth.
For your truth.
That frees me from shame. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, I am going to now take the sword of the Spirit of God and sever all generational cords of iniquity, every evil soul tie that has held these things in place in your life. I cut through those cords of iniquity and those evil soul ties. And I send back in the spirit every ungodly thing that attached itself to you. I take back for you every godly thing you were meant to have. And I cast out every spirit of anger, sarcasm, self-hatred, every spirit or spirit guide behind victim mentality, warped thinking and hopelessness, loss of vision, every one of you associated with shame, with situations, traumas, I cast you out and I send you to the pit. That burning coals fall on you and you cannot rise again. I speak to the lying devil behind the lie that you're not good enough, that you're blameworthy, that you're incompetent, that you're indecent or immoral or disgraceful. I speak to that lying devil. They broke agreement with you. You have to go. Get up, get out, and leave from every cell in their bodies. I send you into the consuming fire of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, loose them. And I thank you, Father, that as this week progresses and you show them those situations, give them the courage to come to you with that, to forgive the people involved, and to get rid of the shame. And Lord, as we go through these next weeks, digging deeper, help us to not be weary in the process, and to come into our true identity so that we can advance your kingdom as you intended for us to do, that we can rise to the level of our intended creation. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. And before I open the lines, I just want to say one of the things that will help remind you of who you are and who God is our daily affirmation of identity. We repeat this every morning on our call during the week. And if you want a copy of it, you will find it on our website, freedoms with an S, Wayministries is plural, .com. You would click on teleconference schedule, and you'll find the morning prayers and this affirmation. When I am focused on what I don't have and what I can't do, God has nothing to work with. I must bring him what I do have and what I can do, and he will multiply it. God prospers me. I do not prosper me. He takes care of my needs for no other reason than he loves me. One of his names is Jehovah Jireh, which means God will see to it. So whatever I need, I can be sure God will supply it, because that is who he is. What do I have? What can I do? I will bring God myself. I'll give him my life today in praise and worship. I will recognize him, exalt him. I will speak his word and not the word of the world. I have a voice to worship with, to sing with, to encourage others. I have a mind with which I can choose to agree with God and what he says about me and others. And I have a will that I can use to stand against the assignment of the enemy who tries to define my identity, and a will to resolve that only the Lord Jesus Christ has the authority to define my identity. My identity is not in what I can do. It is in what he can do through me. Hallelujah. Woo! If you have a comment tonight or a question, you can push your *6 keys. That will unmute your telephone. Anybody?
Hi, this is Sue.
Hi, Sue.
Thanks for the reminder call. And it's kind of nice I have my book. So this is the third time I'm going through. I'm loving it. So, but thank you guys.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah. And there was the prayer, you know, the affirmation. I went, oh, yeah, because I have that on a piece of paper in my Bible. So it was pretty cool. Oh, but thank you guys so much for your care.
You are so welcome. God bless you.
Yeah. Thank you. God bless you, too.
And for all of you out there, that is a lesson in wisdom.
Yeah, Vicki, this is Nat. Yeah, this series has helped me in. A lot of people that I know. It's most definitely a good series. And I'm going to review myself once again, you know.
Amen. Hallelujah.
You never know. That's right. But, yeah. Yeah, I see what you're saying about putting that in. It was part of it because it's true. Yeah, I can see that. I'm talking about the other person, you know, event, anyway, so what I'm dealing with. But yeah, I can see that. But, all right, thank you, though.
Thank you, Annette. Bless you. Bless you.
Hi, Vicki. This is Claudia. This brought even things up from high school. In fact, I'm going to a reunion tomorrow night with a group of girls I was with from 1965. That's telling you something right there. But anyway, this was good. I needed this. And then when I went through my divorce, I'm thinking, wow, this is big. Yeah, this was good. So thank you.
Amen. God bless you.
God bless you.
Yeah,
Vicki, this is Joe.
Yes, ma'am.
Hey, Jim.
No, you go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just saying, you know, those those memories and the shame that came along with them, they stick. They stick, and we need to be sure we're clean.
Amen.
They do stick. Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
So what you got,
thank you, brother and sister. Thank you, brother and sister. Thank you for the lesson. I had a lot of shame in my life, too, coming up.
Yeah. Amen. Who's that? It was great. Thank
Go
you,
ahead,
Vicki. Joan. It's first time I've gone through it, and just very excellent, very so much truth and so much help, and I just thank you for it and look forward to being part of it. And actually, Rick reminded me that it was tonight. So, but praise God, it's just a lot in here, a lot of depth, a lot of wisdom, a lot to apply to ourselves, a lot to, if we do, there will be really
Amen.
Understanding the identity of who we are in Christ and be able to really have the kind of relationships we want that can really be beautiful and wonderful and what's the word? And just healing and loving, be able to love with the Lord's love and with his presence and power and passion. And it would give us victory. I just thank you for
Amen.
Going through this, both of you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Joan. God bless you.
We need it. God bless you.
And you know, the Holy Spirit, he just keeps guiding, and he knows what people need. So
Amen.
Even when we don't think we do, he knows. And anybody else
yeah.
got something before Pastor Phil prays for us? Seals this word.
Sorry, brother and sister. Sorry, sister, I talked over you. I stepped in there a while ago. But thank y'all. Thank y'all, brother and sister. I had a lot of shame in my past also.
Amen, brother.
You're welcome, Mitch.
Welcome back. Okay, Mitch, yeah. okay.
Okay. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
All right, sir. If you would seal this word.
Bless God.
Hallelujah. Yeah, I'm getting deliverance all over here. It's amazing. The things that just slipped away and that this brings back to remembrance, that is amazing. So thank you, Lord, for this word. Thank you for this deep, convicting word, Lord, that it frees us from all of this junk that we don't need to carry. Hallelujah. We like being free. We like your way, Father. But thank you, Lord, for shining a light where a light needs to shine to give us even more freedom. And seal it in our hearts, Lord. With the Holy Ghost that brings to remembrance these things so we can help others to be delivered from this insidious demon. So thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your people, Lord, that are hungry for you. And I just ask you to bless them, Lord. As Aaron, the high priest of Israel, blessed Israel, the people of God, I bless the people of God tonight with the Aaronic benediction from Numbers, the 6th chapter. God bless you as you hear. I'm going to do it in Hebrew and in English. I'm going to chant it. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. Yivarechach Adonai ve'yishmarecha Yisa Adonai panav elecha Ifunecha, Yisadonai, Panavelecha, V'yesem lecha, Shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift his face unto you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift his countenance unto you and give you shalom, give you peace. And I add in Yeshem Yeshua, in the name of Jesus, who is our Sar Shalom, our Prince of Peace. And I thank you, Lord, for sending him so that we could be free. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. We honor you tonight with all our hearts, all our minds, and all our strengths. And I ask that you encamp your angels around your people this week in a mighty way, leading, guiding, and strengthening them in your word, in your direction, in what you would have them do, and who you would have them speak to about you. Lord, we are sold out to you, so Lord, have your way in our lives this week in a mighty way, and protect us from all harm as you always do. We thank you for your presence in our lives. We give you honor and glory with all our hearts, minds, and strength as we worship and glorify your holy name in the mighty name of Yeshua. Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Have a great week. We'll be here in the morning, 7:15, for the King's Table. Gretchen will present this material on Friday. Once again, hallelujah. Good night.
Good night. Thank you.
Good night, brothers. Good night. Good night, everybody.
Night. Bye.
Good night.
Bye.
Good night.